¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
This happened over 10 years ago when I was in high school. My friend Claire came to sleep over. We made plans to sneak out and hang out with some guys, but we had to convince them to pick us up because neither of us had a car and they lived too far away for us to walk there. The guy who rented the apartment agreed to do it and said he would drive us home at the end of the night. Once my parents were asleep, we went out to our friend's apartment and had some fun for a while. Around midnight, Claire decided it was time for us to head back. But when we asked to be taken home, everyone suddenly changed their mind about driving us. They all said they were either too drunk or too high. And the guy who drove us there said he wasn't going to help us because we didn't put out for him and his friends. Being drunk and pissed off at all of them, we left the apartment without much of a plan to get home. We decided to just start walking back, and we would make some phone calls to see if anyone could pick us up to bring us back the rest of the way. My house was a good 20 minutes away by car on the highway, so there was no way we were walking the whole way. The apartment was toward the back of the complex, so we started making our way to the entrance. We didn't even get halfway there before a car rolled up behind us and started slowly following us. I was 15 or 16 at the time and very naive, so I wasn't too concerned. But Claire was a little smarter than me. She told me to start walking faster. The car also picked up its pace to stay close to us. Claire told me to walk even faster. We started moving as fast as we could without running, and that's when the car sped up and passed us, then stopped a few feet in front of us. The passenger doors opened and 2 men jumped out. Realizing there's no way to walk out of this situation, Claire shouts at me to run. She took off and I followed close behind. We weaved through a couple of small side streets and ran toward a group of parked cars and jumped behind a pickup truck. For a minute, we hoped and prayed that we weren't spotted. This is where the details get a little fuzzy. Neither of us was sober and we were suddenly panicking out of our minds. I was about to lose it, but Claire just barely managed to keep a grip on the situation. One of the men had just gotten back in the car at some point, as only one person seemed to be following us on foot. A little after we started hiding, we heard a set of footsteps approaching the truck. Claire told me to keep quiet and stick close to her. Before we knew it, the man was right on the other side of the truck. He circled the truck looking for us, forcing us to slowly and quietly move to stay on the opposite side to avoid being spotted. It felt like a scene from a movie or a video game. We somehow managed to do 2 or 3 circles around the vehicle without being detected. If we hadn't hid behind a giant heavy-duty pickup truck, it would have been over for us. By the grace of the gods, he gave up after a minute and went back to the car with the others. That was our one shot to get away. Claire took my hand and ran off. We sprinted for what felt like an eternity, but in reality, it was probably only 15 to 20 seconds. We found the pool house area and a spot to hide in some bushes behind a fence, but there wasn't much we could do there except anxiously wait to see if they would discover us. Their car pulled around to the pool house not long after. We bit our nails, hoping they didn't stop to get out. The car slowly drove away, clearly still scanning for us. But at least in that moment, we realized we hadn't been spotted. We were safe, for now, but not nearly out of the woods. The car circled around the apartment complex for hours. They weren't giving up. We had to find a way out of there, and the men trying to kidnap us weren't our only problem. It was the middle of winter, and of course, we were dressed to impress the guys we went to hang out with, wearing short shorts and revealing tops. We were freezing. We looked around in the bushes and found a dirty, disgusting Captain America blanket that we huddled together under while making phone calls to find someone to pick us up. We tried contacting the guys at the apartment, but no one answered our calls. None of our friends answered our calls either. We felt completely alone and helpless. We were stuck there in constant danger and terrible conditions the entire night until finally, around 5 a.m., someone answered and said they would pick us up. It was the best news I had ever heard in my life. Our friend got to the apartment complex, but they didn't want to park in front of the pool house until the car that was looking for us was out of sight. They were worried it would give them away as the person helping us escape. Maybe they were right, but it was agonizing knowing our ticket out of there was aimlessly driving around the complex, just like our ticket to hell. At last, there was an opening. They parked in front of the pool house, and we made a run for it. We spotted their car and hopped in as fast as we could, yelling at them to step on the gas. Our friends sped off toward the entrance. We passed the kidnappers on our way out, and that was the last we saw of them. We made it back to my house around 6 a.m., just in time to sneak back in without my parents ever knowing we even left. If Claire hadn't been with me that night, I definitely would have been abducted, or worse. I'm so thankful for her and our friend who picked us up, but as for the adult men who wanted to take advantage of us as teenagers and didn't care about our safety, and especially to the pieces of garbage who wanted to hurt us, they can all burn in hell. This happened in 1995, when I was 22 years old. I had just started living on my own in my first apartment. I worked as a waitress at a restaurant a few blocks away. That night, I got off work around 11 p.m. It wasn't unusual for me to walk home late. There were two ways I took to get to my apartment building. I could stick to the sidewalk, well lit, with decent foot traffic, or I could cut through the communal garden, pitch black and set back from the street. I saved about a minute by going through the garden. Being young and stupid, of course, most of the time I took the shortcut. That night, though, I got a weird gut feeling not to take the shortcut. There was no one else around, and the entryway into the garden seemed darker than usual. So I walked right past it and kept to the sidewalk. When I passed the exit of the garden where I would have come out, suddenly a large man popped out from the garden behind me. I saw him appear over my shoulder and a chill ran down my spine. He wasn't walking on the garden path when I passed the exit. I would have noticed him. The only logical explanation was that he had been hiding in the pitch black garden. He came out just to start following me. Was his original plan to grab me and pull me into the garden, or was he some drunk person who accidentally caught me by surprise? I began walking faster. My dad had taught me to always carry my keys in my fist with a key pointed out in case I needed to punch someone. So I had that, but I'm 5'4 and probably weighed 110 pounds back then. This guy was tall and big. My only chance was to outpace him. Even when I started speed walking, I felt him matching my pace and getting closer. He was breathing heavily, and he had this angry energy coming off of him. My apartment building was just up ahead, so I put on a burst of speed. When I got to the entrance, two people were leaving and holding the door for me and him. I don't know why I didn't call out to tell them I thought I was being followed. I was completely focused on getting inside my apartment. Plus, in the back of my mind, I was still trying to rationalize it. Maybe he was visiting someone in the building. Maybe it was all just a coincidence. I was just being paranoid. And in the end, it didn't matter. It took only a couple of seconds for them to leave. I had missed my chance to get help from them. I entered the building with the man following right behind me and started climbing the stairs as fast as I could. It was a three-story building and I lived on the third floor. I raced up to the top, but the man was never more than one floor behind. I got to my floor, which had four apartments on both sides of the hallway. My door was the third on the right. By the time I passed the first two doors of my neighbors, the man was already exiting the stairwell. When I got to my door, I froze. I realized that if I opened my door, he would catch up to me before I could get in and lock it. He would force me inside, and then I'd be trapped with him, doomed to suffer through whatever he wanted to do with me. I might not even live through it. As I considered this, he walked behind me, passing by just an inch away, close enough for me to smell him. He was disgusting. I wanted to run away and throw up and scream all at the same time. He stopped in front of the fourth apartment, where I knew he didn't live. He didn't say anything. He just stood there staring at me, breathing heavily. He also didn't knock on the door, making it even more clear that he wasn't visiting. He was waiting for me to open my door so he could attack me. I knew the momentary standoff wouldn't last long. Eventually, he would try to make something happen by force, so I racked my brain trying to think of a way out. Suddenly, I started banging on my door as loud as I could, and I yelled my neighbor's name, begging him to let me in. This action startled the man. He seemed even more confused when it wasn't my door that opened, but the door right in front of him. My neighbor Kevin saw the random guy standing right in front of his door and asked what he wanted. The guy started mumbling something about having the wrong apartment, and while he was distracted, I quickly slipped into my apartment and locked the door. I grabbed my cordless phone to call the police, but I heard Kevin in the hallway telling the man he needed to leave. I watched anxiously through the peephole until he finally walked away, making one last bone-chilling glance at me through the door. Kevin knocked on my door moments later and asked if I'm okay. I thanked him and said that I was fine, but on the inside, I was still terrified. The adrenaline was still pumping through my veins. I told Kevin to have a good night, then I locked my door again. Alone, I had my phone in my hand ready to call the police, but I started trying to rationalize it again. What exactly had just happened? A guy followed me home, but then said he had the wrong apartment? Would the cops even care about something minor like that? I tried to calm myself down, but the more I thought of it, the more I berated myself. Why didn't I run the instant I felt him following me? Why didn't I tell the people in front of the building that I thought I was being chased? Worse, why didn't I tell that to Kevin the second he opened his door and saved me? I put him in danger by making him go face to face with a person who could have been capable of anything. Because of my panicking brain, everything felt so ambiguous. I felt like I made almost every wrong decision possible. I knew I was incredibly lucky to be okay. And I never forgot about it. A couple of weeks later, I visited my grandparents, and my grandfather read to me a story in the paper he was reading. He told me that a woman was attacked and violated in the apartment building across the street from mine. Then I saw the picture of the man who did it. It was the same guy that came after me that night. He had multiple convictions for sexual assault and had recently been released on parole. Had he been successful in following me into my apartment, the victim would have been me. I remember 2 weeks after Christmas, I was so thrilled to go shopping. I had received so many gift cards and couldn't wait to use them. The closest mall to me was in a bigger city, about 30 minutes away. Being 17 years old, I would normally have someone to go with me to the mall. On a random Wednesday, I decided I couldn't wait any longer to go shopping. My boyfriend was busy working at the time, and all of my friends were still out of town. I decided that I would just have a day to myself and go shopping alone. Part of me was excited about this, so I wouldn't have anyone rushing me, but part of me was nervous. Once arriving at the mall, it was about 4 p.m., I decided I was going to stay until 6, but no later. After doing some shopping, I decided it was time to leave. I was happy with my purchases and couldn't wait to go home and glance at everything I had bought. I pulled out of the mall parking lot and went toward the interstate. I'm a very self-aware person, so my entire time at the mall, I glanced around to make sure no one was staring at me or following me. Everything seemed fine until a few minutes after I merged onto the interstate. At this point, it was now 6:30, and the sun had started to go down. A few moments later, it was pitch black outside. The interstate was fairly empty as it was a Wednesday past peak rush hour. I remember being in the slow lane, just listening to music, going about 68 miles an hour. Suddenly, I noticed a car getting off at an exit behind me and slowly creeping up close to my car. I sped up as I assumed maybe it was just someone getting impatient. They sped up and got closer. I began to become irritated, so I got over into the next lane. This part of the interstate had four lanes and was fairly empty, so there was no reason whatsoever that they couldn't just go around me. I turned on my blinker and accelerated. Just then, I glanced into my rearview mirror and noticed them follow me into the next lane. I felt my heart start racing, so I decided I would get over one more time, just in case. At this point, I was now in the third lane, closest to the fast lane. The car accelerated and got over behind me again. Now I was becoming extremely annoyed, so I jumped to 80 miles an hour and merged into the fast lane. The car followed behind me, matching my speed and acceleration. I began to get scared. Not enough cars were on the interstate to notice the car behind me. It was so dark outside, too. I decided I was going to transition all the way over to the slowest lane again. I moved over four lanes gradually, and the car followed my every move. At this point, I could confirm they were, in fact, following me. I glanced in my rearview mirror, but I couldn't see anything. All I could make out was a dark-colored sedan with extremely tinted windows. I couldn't tell the color of the car because of how dark it was outside. The car couldn't even stay straight, and they were swerving like crazy. They were so close to me that I couldn't see the entire car in my mirrors. I was in shock, still processing what was happening. I was unsure what to do. My exit was coming up in about a mile. The only thing I could think of was to call my mom. I called my mom and explained the situation. She became very serious and stern. For some reason, I was so fixated on the situation that it didn't even cross my mind to call the police. I asked my mom on the phone what I should do. She told me to come straight home. I heard her and my stepdad bickering in the background. He suggested I stop at the local Kroger in my town and run in and ask for help. I didn't want to cause a scene and risk them grabbing me when I parked. I told him I wasn't comfortable doing that. My mom told me to come home instead of heading the direction of the police station. I wasn't quite sure exactly where it was, but I knew it was more rural, and I was nervous about the car trying to cut me off or trap me on a back road. I decided to listen to my mom and come home. The car followed me off my exit and stayed behind me at the light toward my town. I turned left at the light with an arrow. The car behind me ran the light and sped up behind me. I noticed them swerving again. I was freaking out while on the phone with my mom, but I was trying to calm myself down. Maybe they were going to turn a different way soon. They followed me at the very next light when I turned left again. I had one more light and then the entrance to my neighborhood. Just then, I heard my mom say on the phone, "Get the gun." Being from the South, I grew up around guns, but we were never put in a situation where they would need to be used. My heart started to rapidly beat as I looked behind me and saw the same car still following me closely. I was so nervous, unsure of what was fixing to happen. Were they just trying to scare me? My mom kept asking me on the phone if I did anything to them. "Did you cut them off?" "No," I answered to every scenario she asked. All I did was mind my own business. One more light, and soon after was the turn into my neighborhood. They followed me as I turned left again at the last light. My mom assured me that she and my stepdad were ready to take care of things. My neighborhood entrance was now approaching, and I didn't turn my blinker on, but still turned. They followed. I lived in a cul-de-sac with four other houses. I turned into my cul-de-sac and the car followed. I pulled into my driveway to see my mom holding a pistol up in the air and my stepdad standing next to her. She screamed out, "You better go on!" And the car circled out of the neighborhood. Once the car circled out, I ran up the stairs and hugged my mom. I went inside and was planning on calling 911. Just then, the car circled into the cul-de-sac again, this time going extremely slowly past my house. My mom pointed the gun towards their car, and they sped up and drove off. I was the most scared I had ever been in my entire life. I was shaking. I wish I could have gotten their license plate, but without being able to see the color of the car or get a proper plate picture, there was no point in reporting it. I was just glad that I was home. I stayed up really late that night, wondering what could have happened. Did they follow me from the mall? Did they just randomly decide to follow me? Did I get in their way on the interstate? So many things crossed my brain, but all I could wonder was what they wanted with me. As a young female, my mind thought possibly I was followed due to trafficking. I still don't know to this day what that car wanted from me, but I'm just glad I got home safe. Sometimes I wonder if they remember my address, or if they're ever going to try to show up again. I lock my doors every single night now, and never go to the mall alone.
When I was about 11 years old, my living situation was very unstable. My parents divorced when I was a toddler because my mom got addicted to drugs. And although my dad fought for full custody, the court decided I should stay with her on the weekends. Since I was too young to truly understand the darker parts of my mom's lifestyle, I reveled in the increased freedom and lack of supervision with her. I was home alone a lot. She was always going out doing God knows what, and hung out with some really shady people, doing errands with them. The worst part about living there were the adults. My mom would have groups of people over to do drugs together, often ending in strangers crashing on the couch for days at a time, or in my bed if I wasn't home. The creepiest person in the apartment complex was this weird guy who lived five apartments down. He was about 50 years old and looked really unkempt. He would call me a little cutie every time I had to walk past his apartment, and I saw him walking down the hallway in his underwear several times. I didn't have to deal with him much until my mom started to bring him over. I'm pretty sure he was supplying a lot of the drugs that were being done. Every time he came over, he stared at me with this blank yet sinister stare. It always made me uncomfortable. One night, I was alone in the apartment, watching shows on Adult Swim. It was about 1 in the morning. My mom walked in, saying that she only had one more errand for the night, and that she'd be back in about 5 minutes. Just before leaving, she mentioned that the lock had been a hassle lately and asked me to keep the door unlocked. I said okay, and then she left. Only 30 seconds later, there was a knock on the door. I assumed it was my mom because she was very forgetful. I opened the door without thinking. But as soon as I saw who was at the door, my heart stopped. It wasn't my mom. Standing in front of me was the old creep from five apartments down. He had a wide, excited grin on his face. I slammed the door and locked it without hesitation. I started to freak out. I was already scared of this man. No way was I going to talk to him at 1 a.m. when I was by myself, especially considering I didn't even have a phone. The man knocked and said through the door that he and my mom made an agreement for him to come watch over me while she was gone. I told him I didn't know about it. He kept trying to convince me to open the door. But one of the few things I knew at that age was not to let strangers in when I was home alone. Suddenly, he went psychotic and started pounding on the door. He was screaming and cursing at the top of his lungs, repeatedly telling me that we had some kind of deal. But I had no idea what he was talking about. I ran to the kitchen and grabbed a knife, then sat on the other side of the door. There was a large window directly next to the front door. It would be very easy to break it and then unlock the door, so I was ready to stab his hand if he tried to do so. The banging on the door went on for about 20 minutes before it went silent. But it wasn't a silence I trusted. Even if it seemed like he had left, I knew in my gut he just wanted me to think that. That's when I saw one of his eyes through a crooked blind on the window. He was looking directly at me. I jumped back just before he started pounding at the window. I was scared that at any second he was going to break in. Right before it was too late, I heard another man yelling down the hall. He swore at the creep and threatened him. Apparently, the commotion woke up one of the neighbors. Thanks to them, the creep ran off. The neighbor knocked to see if everything was okay, but I was too scared to answer. I let him think nobody was home. After he left, I sat up wide awake in the living room, waiting. My mom came home a few hours later. I thought she would be mad that I locked the door, but when I opened it for her, she was definitely furious, but it wasn't for the reason I expected. She charged inside and looked at me with an angry glare, asking me why I didn't let him in. I asked who she was talking about. Then she said the name of our neighbor, the creep from five doors down. I was too confused to speak as my mom chewed me out. She said she told the man he could come over, but that I had screwed it all up, and now because of me, her window was broken. She dragged me outside and made me look at the front window, which now had a huge crack in it. At that moment, I realized he was only a few seconds from breaking in. I felt so weirded out by everything that I grabbed my overnight bag and walked back to my dad's house. He was surprised to see me. I didn't tell him what happened. It was too much for me to explain at the time. I only told him that I didn't want to go over there for a while. Either way, my dad was furious at my mom for letting an 11-year-old walk through the city at 4 in the morning. A few months later, I finally felt comfortable enough to go back. But when I got there, 5 cop cars were outside the building. I ignored them and went upstairs, only to see the cops outside of the old creep's apartment, dragging him out in handcuffs. I asked one of the adults who was spectating what he had done, and they said something I'll never forget. He had molested 3 other young boys in the building. Even worse, the adult looked down at me and said I was lucky he hadn't gotten to me, because I was exactly his type. Blonde hair and blue eyes. I ran home in disbelief, but when I turned on the TV, the news had his face plastered on the screen, confirming everything. I can never fully describe the surreal terror I felt at 11 years old, realizing that my own mother would endanger me by using me as a tool to get drugs. Even now, 14 years later, the visceral, overwhelming emotions and a complete shift in the way I saw my parents and the world will always be unforgettable. Back in 2022, I was 23 years old and living in London. I had recently moved into a small flat with my girlfriend and didn't have much money, so I worked 2 jobs. One is a cleaner, and another is a food delivery cyclist for a company called Just Eat. The company had a hub where they stored their electric bikes, which employees would pick up and drop off at the starter end of the shift. I would go to different restaurants to pick up food and drop it off at different locations around London. On one particular day, early in the morning, it was freezing cold outside, but I still had to go to work for Just Eat. It was common for delivery cyclists to wear balaclavas to keep warm, and I was wearing a balaclava on this day. I had just dropped someone's food off at a council estate block. As I was getting ready to go back onto my bike, I could hear a man shouting very loudly. I looked over to my left across the street and saw a man screaming while walking behind a lady who was pushing a baby pram. He was tall and wearing a hoodie with a mask on his face. I stopped for a minute because I felt concerned for the lady. The man appeared to be shouting at the mother viciously, and she was obviously uncomfortable. After I watched for a few seconds, the woman turned left and went down a different road to avoid the man. I thought he was going to follow her, but he didn't. He carried on shouting, but now he was crossing the street and walking towards me. I got a bit worried, but thought maybe he was just one of those crazy guys in big cities that walk around shouting. Admittedly, I was a bit frozen, like a deer in headlights. As he kept approaching, I could hear better what he was saying, and it wasn't good. He was screaming with a lot of anger, asking me why I was there, and that he had told me if he saw me again, he would chef me up, which I knew meant he was going to stab me. This was confirmed by the knife he then revealed from his coat. What didn't make sense was that I had never seen this guy before in my life. But then I realized that my face was concealed by the balaclava, so he could easily have mistaken me for his worst enemy or something. I decided not to take a chance on revealing my face to show him I wasn't who he thought I was, since he seemed too mentally unstable for logic or reason. I started to quickly unlock my bike as he was getting closer to me, still screaming at the top of his voice. I was so scared my mind wasn't working properly. I was struggling to unlock the bike, but finally I did after an infuriating length of time. I got on my bike and cycled away. When I looked over my shoulder, I could see he was running towards me at full speed with the knife in his hand. I panicked and feared for my life, cycling faster and faster. I was next to a public park, so I cycled into it. I looked back again and he was still running with the knife. But I could see that I was far enough distance from him to stop and have time to potentially defuse the situation. I quickly stopped and shouted at him that I didn't know who he was and that he had the wrong guy. It didn't seem to have any effect at all. Quite the opposite, in fact. After I stopped, he began to run even faster and close the distance between us, continuing to shout. I couldn't understand what he was saying at this point because of the adrenaline and pure fear in my body. I gave up on trying to reason with him and sped off without looking back. Whilst I was cycling, I shouted that I was sorry and pleaded with him to stop chasing me. I kept trying to get through to him that I didn't know him, but he was completely hell-bent on attacking me with that knife. It was clear by the look in his eyes. The only thing he was feeling was rage, and the only thing he was thinking about was murder. I realized it was stupid to stop before. He could have easily surprised me with his speed and caught up with me. Had that happened, he surely would have stabbed me, and he didn't look like the type of man to let his victims bleed out. Yet, I managed to get away and kept going until he was nowhere in sight. I went back to the company hub and told my supervisor what happened. They said they would call the police, but I never heard back from my work about what the police said. And I wouldn't be surprised if the police said they never caught him. It's probably because this is London, a city known for being a place where these kind of things happen quite often. I'm sure my case is far from unique. And since there were no casualties, I can't imagine it was at the top of their priority list. After the incident, I was very shaken up, so I ended my shift there and went home. My supervisor was thankfully understanding. Since then, if I hear a loud noise in public or somebody shouting, I get scared. My heart starts racing and I sweat profusely, no matter the temperature. I tend to look behind me more when I'm walking home late at night, and I can never put on another balaclava for the rest of my life. No matter how cold it gets, it won't be worth the risk to me. I'm just glad that he didn't catch up with me. Because if he did, I don't know what he would have done. It looked like he wanted to kill me. There are many nights I can't sleep. I close my eyes and see him staring back at me, forcing my mind to wander to all the potential agonizing fates I might have met had I let him get a hold of me.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.